Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A Factual Data Creation Facility production.
Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 214, which I'm calling Notes from the Road. Hey, remember me telling you that I was bringing my Zoom H1N field recorder along on my trip to Tennessee? Do you also remember that I also said you could expect some audio content from that trip?
Yes.
Well, guess what I forgot to bring with me?
I don't know.
That would be my Zoom H1N handy recorder.
What the hell?
I remember that as soon as I entered New Jersey, which is too far away from my home to make it worth returning for. Instead, I'll just give a rundown of my road trip. Getting old, I tell ya. Well, shall we kick this thing off now?
Yes!
Okay!
Okay, here's a brief rundown of my trip to Tennessee. We had a later start than we had planned on last Sunday morning. We got underway about 5:30 in the morning, not the planned 4 o'clock in the morning. We made about 3 stops on the way down and arrived at our hotel about 6 that evening. Traffic was light the whole way down, with Pennsylvania and Virginia being the longest drives to get through. We were up and at 'em Monday morning, and after looking at a few properties, we called it a day. Tuesday morning, we looked at another property, but didn't care for it. My lovely wife and I decided to buy a property we had saw on Monday, and we started the finance process, of which, of course, we're still going through. The plan is to have a mortgage until we sell our property up here in New York. We should easily get the price of the new place from our New York house and use that to pay off the mortgage, leaving us mortgage-free.
Aw, yeah.
The new house is a bit smaller than the one we live in now, and the property surrounding it is but half the size of the property we currently have. Well, that just means less yard work for me, which is a good thing. The place is located in a gated community with a view of the mountains out back, perfect for a relaxing retirement. The new place features 4 bedrooms, of which the smallest one will become my office podcast studio.
Yay!
It'll be a lot more quiet there in comparison to this area, which has almost constant traffic, aircraft, and trains going by. This will allow me to record without as much post-processing. Hopefully the audio of this podcast will see an improvement. The town our new potential residence is located just outside of is small, which suits us fine. A much larger city is a 20-minute drive away. Speaking of which, we found an excellent Thai restaurant there. If everything goes according to plan, the laborious moving and selling of this house should commence around June. At that time, expect shorter episodes. I expect to have everything completed and be settled in by autumn, God willing. While the drive down there went smoothly, the opposite was true of the drive back up to New York. We left Tennessee at our planned 4 o'clock on Wednesday morning, but despite just making 3 short stops, didn't arrive home until 6:30 that evening.
What?
The first problem was during our transit through Pennsylvania, and that problem was trucks, or lorries as they're called over in England.
Yes.
The roads were jam-packed with them. The route we took back only had 2 lanes most of the way, with that what seemed like more trucks and passenger cars using it. Trucks that were broken down, trucks that had crashed, and trucks that were pulled over by the police. These delays put our schedule off and put us at the peak of rush hour traffic as we arrived at the New Jersey side of the George Washington Bridge. It took 4 hours from that point to make it home. That's 4 hours to travel what normally would be an hour's drive. It didn't help that yet another truck was involved in an accident on the Cross Bronx Expressway. I still haven't recovered fully from that nightmarish drive. Anyway, please wish us luck with the procurement of our new retirement home. What time is it? Well, it's time for tech news as usual. Well, there wasn't much in the way of tech news, at least tech news that I found interesting, but I did manage to find a few stories to bring you. First up, TechRadar.com has the following headline. Aura Ring 4, latest news, rumors, and what we want to see, unquote. You can read this as just plain old rumors. The latest model of the Aura Ring, aptly called the Aura Ring 3, launched back in October of 2021, and I was lucky enough to be given one for my birthday by my daughter Jessica and my son-in-law Steven. Then again, it might have been a Christmas gift, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, it seems that Aura releases a new model every 3 years, judging from past releases, so the Aura Smart Ring is due for a refresh. I'm sure a sense of urgency is being felt over at Aura because of the imminent release of the Samsung Galaxy Ring and other new competitors adding new features, and the rumor of the giant fruit company entering the market soon. I jumped aboard the Smart Ring train way back in 2018 with the Motive Smart Ring, again a birthday gift, but this time from my son John. Though the Motive Ring's feature set was limited compared to the Aura Ring model back then, that feature set fit my needs, was less expensive than the Aura, and looked better in my opinion. Motive actually implemented a security feature that allowed you to open apps in Windows PCs that was based on a person's gait. Yes, you heard that right. It was based on how you walked. To set this feature up, you had to open the Motive app and then walk a certain distance, which of course I did. Motive had plans to eventually be able to use its ring for payments and entry into secured areas in lieu of the now prevalent microchip CAC card. Alas, Motive was acquired by security firm Proxy, who quickly discontinued the ring. In an ironic twist, Aura itself acquired Proxy back in 2023. I then moved over to the second generation of the Aura Ring in 2021. The thing I liked most about that ring was its uncanny ability to predict an oncoming illness even when you thought you were feeling just fine. This is something that the latest model of the Aura Ring seems to have lost. It failed to predict my bout with COVID. China. Even though I was running a fever, it was telling me I was doing just fine. Aura has just released a beta called Symptom Radar, which I've signed up for, that hopefully will address this and also confirming my experiences. I hope this problem is resolved in the upcoming version of the ring. As far as the article goes, the author predicts contactless payments, probably based on the old Motive Ring technology, and the aforementioned Symptom Radar. Then the author runs down what he would like to see in the fourth generation Aura Ring. It's a list of the usual things, you know, refined styling, more stats, and a cheaper subscription price. Being that I upgraded from the second iteration of the Aura Ring to the third iteration in a timely manner, I was lucky enough to get a free lifetime subscription to Aura software, saving me $6 per month. What would I like to see in the newer version of the Aura Ring? Besides better oncoming sickness prediction, I'd like to see the same or even cheaper price, and perhaps the ability to unlock your automobile or home smart lock, again using that old Motive Ring technology. Do you use a smart ring, or are you even interested in buying one? The best thing about a smart ring is comfortable sleep tracking. It's much easier to wear a ring to bed rather than a bulky watch. CNN.com is reporting that Apple has removed WhatsApp and Threads from the Chinese App Store on orders from the Chinese Communist Party. Both apps are owned by Meta, formerly called Facebook. I wonder what's going on there. The apps were ordered to be removed because of national security concerns. You know, that's why I have absolutely no sympathy for TikTok, a Chinese-owned app that is currently being threatened with divestiture by the U.S. government. TikTok is a national security threat and should be dealt with. Perhaps Meta is the leading candidate to buy TikTok if forced divestiture becomes a reality. In my opinion, Apple and the rest of the Western world should start separating from the communist-controlled slave labor manufacturing country. These Western companies are chasing after the money of the citizens of China and are not seeing the results they desire. The Chinese government tolerates these Western companies until the stealing of all their proprietary technology is complete, and then jettisons them. But what do I know? I'm just an old, humble podcaster with a minuscule audience. Fortune.com has an article about the recent attempt at inserting a backdoor into major Linux distribution, which I covered on this podcast previously. The headline reads, "After a failed Linux backdoor attempt grabs headlines, open source leaders warn of more attacks," unquote. The article points out that most corporate servers run on Linux, and point out that if the last attempt to insert a backdoor was successful, the outcome would have been horrendous with global consequences. The true identity of the culprit of this attempt, who went by the name G. Tan, is still unknown, but is believed to be a state-sponsored operation. As I've stated previously, the state that most likely sponsored this attempt is
China.
The Open Source Security Foundation and the OpenJS Foundation, which oversees development on JavaScript technologies that are widely used for the web processes, call on those who maintain open source projects to, quote, be alert for social engineering takeover attempts and to recognize the early threat patterns emerging, unquote, in a joint blog post. The same blog post also described an incident where someone recently tried to persuade the OpenJS Foundation to appoint them as a maintainer for a popular JavaScript project in order to address any critical vulnerabilities. The methods used were eerily similar to that used by Jia Tan, and the foundation spotted two other attempts which use similar tactics for JavaScript projects it doesn't host. The foundation alerted the relevant project leaders and notified U.S. authorities. This all makes me wonder how many of these attempts on the security of Linux, specifically the Linux-based server software, have been successful. We've gotten to the point where even Linux isn't as immune to these intrusions as once thought. Well, maybe the walled garden approach is the way forward. I know a certain giant fruit company would be all for that. I still run Linux on an old outdated HP desktop and I really enjoy it, though I haven't messed around with it lately. If I wasn't buried within the Apple ecosystem, Linux would be my computer operating system of choice. Google fires 28 workers in the aftermath of protests over big tech deal with Israeli government, unquote. Google seems to have grown a pair and no longer tolerates radical communist-inspired activist workers who have previously cost the company billions of dollars in lost contracts with the U.S. government for drone and border enforcement technology. Contracts that were gleefully snapped up by the Big G's competitors. This follows the firing last month of a Google engineer who thought it was a great idea to disrupt a conference with the head of Google's Israel operations. These particular communist radicals decided it was a great idea to occupy the office of Google's head of cloud computing in California and a corporate office in New York. These sit-ins prevented some workers from doing their jobs and created a threatening atmosphere. That according to the company. I'd like to point out that these activists were also on the clock while staging these so-called protests. Unfortunately, these types have infested the tech industry throughout the United States and cannot be exterminated without just resetting the entire company. The only option here seems to be just to attempt controlling them. These useful idiots want to overthrow the entire financial and government system and don't really care if they lose those six-figure jobs they hold. No, they can just go on the dole, taking advantage of the generous social assistance programs available to them in those blue states they like to inhabit. Failing that, they can just move in with their moms and dads. That is, if they ever left there in the first place. These types are the product of years of radical social indoctrination via the colleges and universities they attended. I'm beginning to see why these tech companies are trying to hire as many overseas workers they can get their hands on, hoping they're not infected with this now outdated and toxic ideology and won't be infected with the mind virus by fellow workers once they arrive here. Google says they are further investigating this incident and more workers may be fired. Well, good for them. Tech I'm using. Well, it's all quiet on the tech I'm using front as everything is functioning as it should. I will say that the hotel Wi-Fi that we use with a virtual private network, a VPN, engaged, was the fastest and most reliable hotel Wi-Fi I've ever used. My lovely wife was able to effortlessly stream her Filipino television dramas, and I was able to watch the Yankees lose two out of those three games of the series they were playing. We both brought our iPads, which served us honorably as they should. Our mobile phone service provider, T-Mobile, had a strong signal all the way down there and an exceptionally strong signal in the mountainous area we intend to settle in, which was a relief. I was concerned that it wouldn't. We get a great deal on the service from T-Mobile, and the all-important to us anyway, free Major League Baseball app, which will allow us to watch the Yankee games at no additional cost. This also allows us to ditch DirecTV Stream, which will save us about $160 per month. The house we intend to purchase is new construction and features a front door smart lock and a video doorbell, which are both Amazon compatible. Being that the house is already built, my dream of having Ethernet connections in every significant location will have to be put off, and my poor wife didn't get her oven exhaust fan. Well, small sacrifices always have to be made, it seems. As far as internet providers go, there are none of the major ones in our area. The best-rated local one is Earthlink, which has plans ranging from 300 Mbps, which I believe stands for megabits per second, to 1 gig per second. I'll probably go for the 1 gig option, as long as there are no data caps, that is. If we do get this house, it'll sure be a very busy time for me. Well, I found that the WFAN app, the TuneIn app, and the Odyssey app, which all stream WFAN radio, all don't work out of market.
What?
We started streaming WFAN, home of the New York Yankee radio broadcast, when we departed from New York on the Odyssey app and was able to stream the station all the way down to Tennessee. That was because we started off in market, so the app allowed us to do that. Driving back to New York, we were unable to stream WFAN, no matter what app we used. That rendered Odyssey and WFAN apps useless, so I deleted them both. I listened to other content on the TuneIn app, so I'll be keeping that one around. Boy, these sports teams sure have a lock on their media. A workaround would be to use the MLB app and select the audio version of the broadcast, which would suffice until you were in market, where it would then stop you from using it. I guess I could use a VPN to get around the location restrictions also, but I didn't even attempt that on the way down or on the way up, actually.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Entertainment news. Well, the biggest story for me this week is longtime New York Yankees play-by-play radio announcer John Sterling has announced his immediate retirement, and that's after calling over 5,000 Yankee games.
Wow.
Well, the guy is 84 years old and lately looks every second of it. I used to listen to Mr. Sterling when I was a wee lad of about 10 years, well before he started calling Yankee games. I had an old 1960s AM radio, complete with cigarette burns from my father, and would have it tuned to 580 AM. Well, that's medium wave in the civilized world.
Hello there.
Which was the New York Sports Radio Network. The stations carried New York Knicks, Rangers, Yankee games, and more. Mr. Sterling hosted a show called Sports Roundtable when there were no games on, and I'd fall asleep listening to that show. At the time, and up until 1996, Phil Rizzuto, the Scooter, as he was known by, was the voice of the Yankees. I believe they used audio from the game for both radio and television back then, as I distinctly remember hearing Rizzuto on the radio. I just hope they find a worthy successor to John Sterling. We listened to the game on the way down, as I've said, and the announcers they had were kind of boring. A couple of weeks ago, a senior editor for National Public Radio, better known as NPR, wrote a scathing report which pointed out that the supposed public broadcaster had zero non-Democratic Party-affiliated editors working for them and gave Democratic Party officials unlimited airtime to propagate false narratives, like the Russian collusion hoax, while suppressing and not reporting on stories like the Hunter Biden laptop. The man, one Yuri Berliner, who is also Democratic Party affiliated, was upset that NPR never retracted any of the falsehoods they reported on and couldn't care less when he brought these problems up to management. The result? Mr. Berliner was suspended from NPR, so he took the hint and resigned. He also pointed out that this all started in 2016 after you-know-who was elected.
You are fake news.
And that over the years, NPR's audience has shrunk to its lowest level ever. The overwhelming majority of the audience NPR managed to retain is far left and supporters of the Democratic political party. Now, most aware people have already noticed this hard turn to the left and have abandoned NPR. But Mr. Berliner's report has served to make it official. Republican senators and representatives are now threatening to cut off the $100 million worth of funding NPR gets from the government, but this loss of revenue will be shrugged off. NPR gets most of its funding from odious non-governmental agencies disguised as not-for-profits, who get their funding from, well, you guessed it, the government. They'll just ramp up their donations to NPR in order to make up for this loss of funds. So unless Republicans cut off funding from the NGOs also, nothing will change.
Oh, no.
Podcast news. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while,
yes.
No.
Then you might remember me lamenting about the Parcast podcast studio, which was bought by Spotify some years ago and recently absorbed into Spotify's own studio, which effectively killed Parcast. The founder of Parcast recently left Spotify and formed Pave Studios and is in the process of creating and releasing new shows. I checked out the new company's website, and it appears that the first two show categories are True Crime and Open Mind, which seems to be a, sort of an interview show format. It also looks like Pave Studios will function more as a podcast network, not a creator and producer of shows. Well, I'd hope that some of the old Parcast shows would be making a return, but that's not the impression I get from the website. Bummer. A popular podcast newsletter I enjoyed reading in the past, it was called Hot Pod, might be discontinued. Hot Pod is or was part of the Verge.com stable. The previous writer was witty and covered all facets of the podcast world, not just Podcasting Incorporated. And more importantly, left his politics out of the equation, the way it should be. His replacement exclusively covered the Big Money Show and Podcasting Incorporated and always injected her politics into her writing. The result? Well, no one bothered reading Hot Pods anymore. At least not as many people as before. They'll never learn, will they?
No.
Yeah, I bring my politics into this show, but I don't work for anybody but myself. And warn of this in my show's description. The now former writer for Hot Pod blames the current shrinking profits of the podcasting industry and claims she arrived within it at the wrong time. Well, that's not it at all, Missy, or whatever pronoun you're calling yourself at the moment. I hope if Hot Pod does continue, The Verge finds a better writer, or should I say a more professional one, helmet. Finally, it appears that the podcast listening app Pocket Casts has adopted the web sub protocols, and that's judging from the speed in which this podcast appeared on the app last week. I went into the specifics of this situation on the last episode, so if you actually care about this, well, give that episode a listen. The music has started playing as the episode begins winding down on this cloudy and cool spring evening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's only if you're so inclined. I'd really enjoy hearing from you. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Hey, isn't it a little chilly out there for you to be hanging around? So do yourself a favor and get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.